So July 4th is the day we celebrate America's birthday, our Declaration of Independence. But it's also a special day in another country, Rwanda. Their July 4th is Liberation Day. It commemorates the end of the 1994 genocide. And joining us to explain is Jacqueline Murakatete, a survivor of the Rwandan genocide. In a recent article for the Washington Post, Jacqueline asked that this July 4th we celebrate our independence in the U.S., but also remember those outside the country still waiting to enjoy their freedom. And she joins us in studio. First of all, happy 4th of July for both Rwanda and the United States. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So explain to me the significance of July 4th in Rwanda.
It's a very special holiday, especially for those of us who are in Rwanda during the genocide. This is a day that we remember as a day that we begin to have hope about, living again. Because during the 100 days of genocide that all of us were in Rwanda, we lived each day not knowing whether or not we're going to live to see the next day, simply because of our ethnicity, that we were, Tutsis in a country that believed that being of the Tutsi ethnicity was a crime deserving of death. So it's a very significant day for us because that's when we celebrate being liberated from that, from the genocide and being given another opportunity to life.
Well, you've been in the U.S. for a few years, so you're aware of how we celebrate July 4th: fireworks, overeating of chips and pop and hot dogs, and grilling burgers, and picnics, and all parades, lots of parades. How do people celebrate July 4th in Rwanda?
Even in Rwanda, it's big. There are many festivities. People go out and they celebrate again because for them it's a day for many of them when they remember, being liberated from, the bushes where they were hiding, from different holes where they were hiding. So they go out and they celebrate. But I also think that, especially for genocide survivors, it's also a day when we reflect on, what we have gained, since 1994, but also what we've lost, what we lost in a genocide. I mean, most of us, my own self, I lost my parents and all my siblings. And for other survivors, they lost most of their family members. So we think about them, but we also think about other people in different parts of the world that are still subject to various human rights violations and who are not, even today, to this day, are not able to enjoy the basic freedoms that we enjoy here in America or in Rwanda.
Do you think that Americans have forgotten about those outside of, say, the first world that don't enjoy the freedoms that perhaps we take for granted what we have?
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that it's for human beings, it's often the case that when we have an experience, living in an environment where such basic rights as the right to exist, is sometimes we don't realize that the things that we enjoy here are not commonplace. That, again, many around the world are still, living in fear of their own lives simply because of, their ethnicity, because of their religion, and so forth. So I think that as human beings, sometimes we have a tendency to take the things that we have for granted, and which is why I think that on an important day like this, in addition to celebrating what we have, it's also important that we reflect on the fact that many of the things that we enjoy are not commonplace, and reflect on how, as individuals and collectively as a nation, how we can contribute to bringing those same rights and freedoms to the millions of other people who still don't have them.
We're speaking with Jacqueline Murakatete, survivor of the 1994 Rwandan genocide. You know, when I read your piece in the Washington Post, I immediately thought of Syria. And I wonder if you draw these same parallels. I mean, obviously, a lot of people, President Clinton himself says he regretted that we didn't intervene in Rwanda, that the Western world basically allowed it to happen, knowing what was going on. And they should have stepped in earlier. Many people have said that the reason they intervened in Bosnia was for this very reason, because of the lessons they'd learned in Rwanda. And I wonder if you draw these same parallels with a place like Syria.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think that, all of us have been every day we are bombarded with, you know, news of the massacres and the killings that are going on in Syria. And, you know, why it's, you know, we can't say it's a genocide because it's not. But, you know, we know that civilians
because
are being...
Because it's not a person. A whole people being wiped out. Yeah.
Exactly. But we know civilians are being targeted and they're being, you know, tortured. And, you know, the international community has been trying to... bring the government of Syria to its senses and to prevent it from, you know, massacring its citizens. But to date, you know, the government continues to kill and to torture. So I definitely think that, you know, it's very important that our country and the international community, the Security Council, continue to put on the pressure to the Syrian government to stop what it's doing. Because, again, people are being, you know, tortured and killed. And we're talking about civilians and not people who, you know, are armed and fighting.
In many cases, yeah. Children.
Children, yeah.
Although I have to say there's going to be plenty of people in the United States who say, look, we can't afford to worry about what's happening in other countries. You know, what's happening in the U.S. is tough enough. There's Americans suffering on our own streets. There's Americans who are unemployed, who've lost their homes. How could we possibly have the time or energy to worry about what's happening in Africa or any other place in the world?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I mean, I think we have challenges. You know, in this country, we have individual challenges. But I also think it's very important to realize that we live in a global community now. And at the end of the day, you know, whether something like that is happening in Syria or it's happening in Sudan or in Congo, I think it's important to realize that although those things may not seem like they have direct consequences for us now, I do believe ultimately they do have negative consequences for us. So in addition to, you know, dealing with the challenges that we face in our own country, which I believe, as you said, are also, you know, critical, I think it's important to realize that as a nation, as a people, we have responsibility that goes beyond, you know, our physical borders, and to be able to contribute to the protection of, you know, basic rights for all people.
So Jacqueline Mureketete is not only celebrating the independence of the United States today, but also Liberation Day from your home country of Rwanda.
Yes, yes. It's a very special day indeed. And again, it's a day for me that where I reflect on what I have and hopefully on what I can contribute to other people.
So happy 4th of July and happy Liberation Day to Jacqueline Mureketete, survivor of the 1994 Rwandan genocide. You can read her piece in the Washington Post. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.